Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favourite witches. Hi there. Hello. Welcome to our special little space together, where I get to talk to you, and you get to listen, and sometimes you even get to talk to me too. That is, if you send in a question for Hannah Help Me, which is what one person did today, and that person is Brandy. So let's get ready for Hannah Help Me. Today's question comes in from Brandy. Brandy asks, Hannah, help me. I'm struggling with my altar and connecting to ancestors, but then feeling called to work with Bridget, but it all feels clunky sort of. I'm doing what feels right, but it's hard to make it a routine. First of all, Brandy, it's okay to feel clunky sometimes. That's how we figure it out, because we do stuff and we go, huh, this feels clunky. And then that prompts us to change. So this is okay. This is how we find our flow. Because what flows for me is not what will flow for you, is not what will flow for the next person. It's always going to be different and personal to each person. But when you're feeling a bit stuck and things feel clunky and it doesn't feel quite right, there are a few ways that we can troubleshoot this. As an aside, there is a little playlist on my YouTube channel called Troubleshooting for Witches, where I've answered a few common questions and how to sort of troubleshoot your way through it. So definitely check that out if you need some more troubleshooting help. But let's troubleshoot this together today, shall we? So you've said that you're struggling with your altar and connecting to ancestors and then feeling called to work with Bridget. Basically, it's hard to make it a routine. So you've got three different things here. I'm going to tell you what I do, because sometimes having an example can be helpful because you might hear it and go, oh, that sounds exactly what I want to do. Or you might hear me and say, you know what? No, I don't like that. And that gives you information as well. You don't have to like what I'm doing. I don't need anyone's approval. I like what I'm doing, but you need to find what works for you. So what I do is I have my main altar. And my main altar space is also my main deity space. There I go again. I was saying deity mostly, and then now I've said deity. We're not doing this again, Hannah. I'm not going there again. Roll with it. So I have Thoth, my patron deity, my main deity. He is on my main altar. I do have a couple of other deities that I work with, Isis being one, and she is somewhere else. She kind of has her own space. But it's not a big space. It's literally behind my laptop. It's an old fruit crate that I found, like a wooden fruit crate from like old school farming times. I love it with such a passion. And it's basically a bookshelf and tarot deck shelf for me. And on top of it sits my camera, which is where I film a lot of my YouTube videos, I use it like my webcam as well. Next to that camera, I have a little Kiki's delivery service thing that holds some coins and some other cool things. Then I have a amethyst tea light candle holder, which is like my healing candle holder, and Isis there. And she has her own almost platform she sits on, and that's where I put her offerings. So hers is a very sort of small, separate one, but it's right in front of me. And she sits directly opposite Thoth on his bigger area altar. So he kind of shares the main altar. She has her own smaller one. And then I have a separate ancestor altar also on a shelf. I don't know why I'm pointing. You can't see me. But I have an ancestor shelf. It's a very skinny, narrow shelf. So I'm going to describe what's on the ancestor one. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 small picture frames, assorted picture frames on the top shelf. And then because that got too full, I have the next ancestor who joined the ancestor altar, which feels weird to say ancestor because they were younger than me, but they are on the next shelf down. There is a little box with some trinkets and special things from one of my main ancestors, and a rosary bead that was theirs as well. Some other little crystals, a little thing of water. That's kind of all there is there. There doesn't need to be a lot. I just make sure they've got their water topped up, and there's a small candle holder so I can light a candle for them. There's a tiny bit of space if I want to put extra offerings on there, but that's not super common for me. The ones I'm giving things like coffee and biscuits and things to are my grandparents, who specifically asked not to be on an altar. So I just kind of put that near a photo that I have of them that is not an altar, it's just a photo, and I'll just put a cup of coffee there. So their wishes and my wishes are working together. So all you need is a shelf. Now, with the ancestors, right, I just make sure their water's topped up. Every now and then I'll light a candle, keep them in my thoughts, clean it or dust it, but it's not a daily thing. It's not a daily thing for me. If they want attention, trust me, they let me know. Usually by knocking over one of the little picture frames, I always know. I'm always like, oh, sorry guys. But it's okay to not do it every day. You don't have to attend to them every day, okay? They're good. Same with my main altar. Like, I refresh it probably every 3 months. And by refresh, I do not mean decorate it and fancy it up. I just mean take everything off, wipe it down, put everything back on. That's kind of what I do. Make sure things that are on there are still things that I want on there, and add anything else that I think needs to be on there. So I'm not doing a lot of, like, once it's set up, it's set up. So you said you're struggling with your altar and connecting to ancestors and then feeling called to work with Bridget, right? And that you want to make it a routine. You don't have to do it all in one day. I think this is where a lot of people go off the rails, is trying to do it all in one day or even all in 1 week. Like, that's a lot. You may have heard me talk before that when I'm connecting with Thoth, I do that on the dark moon. And it's not every dark moon. My ancestors probably get a candle lit for them maybe once a week, but more likely it's going to be once a fortnight. For those of you in America, that's once every 2 weeks. So if you're feeling called to work with Bridget, all you need to do is have a tiny little space for her. For some people that aren't out in the open, that's in a shoebox. For other people, it is, you can get a card. Like, there are tarot cards that are for different deities. There are oracle decks for different deities. You can print a picture out if you have a printer. I don't know people that really have printers anymore. But you can go to Officeworks and print something out, right? A picture of Bridget or something small that you just place leaning against something and put a little candle there if you want, like a little tea light candle. That's all you need. That is the minimum, and that's all you need. And then you can choose, like, once a year, once a month, once a week, whatever feels right for you. I would actually argue less is more, because if you're trying to do something every single day, you will forget, you will feel guilty, you'll feel like you're failing, and you'll spiral. And we don't want spiraling. Spiraling is not fun. So my advice to you, Brandy, if you're feeling called to work with a deity, firstly, I've done that episode, I think it was last week, on work is a deity calling me. That's a good one to listen to if you haven't already. Secondly, you can just start. And again, have a picture, even if it's just a candle without a picture or anything around it, just be like, this is my candle for Bridget. I put it here. I light it when I remember to, or I light it every, whatever her day of the week is, whatever thing you are connected to, light it then. Put a little note in your phone. And then you've started, right? That's all you need to do. And you can just feel into that relationship. And if it's not something you want to continue with, you just take that candle away and say, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to move on now. Thank you. Again, with your altar, I want you to ask yourself, if you are struggling with upkeep of an altar, what is your altar for? Why do you feel you need it? Because you don't need one. You don't need one. When I first started out and I was still very much in the closet, I had this little coffee table that we had, this like cute little sunroom. I had this little coffee table, this blue coffee table from IKEA. It was metal and on little like trolley wheels. And what I had underneath it was like a little box. And inside that box was candle, a couple of crystals, my tarot deck, maybe incense, and a lighter. That's kind of all that was in there. And maybe some chime candles. And so when I would sit down to meditate, which sometimes was every night, sometimes it was 3 times a week, whatever it was, whatever I got around to, I would pull it out, I'd set it up on the little table, I would light a candle, I would meditate, I would sit there with the crystal, maybe use some incense, and then I'd pack it all away. And that was my altar. And it was kind of like a traveling altar. It was a hidden altar, and it just came out when I needed it. And then it kind of started with a very small shelf, and it's grown from there with me and with my practice and with my needs. And an altar can be different to your working space, your spell working space. When I'm doing spell work, I'm doing it wherever it's most necessary. It might be on a table space, it might be in the kitchen, it might be outside, it might be in the shower. Like, I'm doing that where it needs to be. I'm not usually doing it at my altar. If I have a petition, if I have a prayer, I will sit in front of my altar. But again, if you're not doing that sort of stuff, you probably don't need one. I'm going to go out there and say, you don't need an altar. Do I get a Bad Witch of the Year award? Maybe. I will wear it with pride. But you don't need one. Sometimes when things get clunky or we feel pulled in lots of different directions and we can't make it into a routine, it's because we're either trying too much or we're trying to copy other people too much or we're doing things that we don't need to. Pare it back. Keep it simple. That is probably the best advice. This is the same advice I give my tarot students, because I see tarot students or people that are new to the tarot all the time trying to do that damn Celtic cross spread. Like, oh my God, I can't make sense of it. It's like, no shit. That is like complex. Wait, I hate that spread. I hate that spread. It's the worst. It's so unnecessary. Some people love it. You're allowed to love it. Go forth and prosper. I hate it. Most of the time, if you can't answer a question with one card, you're probably asking the wrong question. Less is best, in my opinion. That's not to say I don't have multi-card spreads, right? You make it more complex once you have mastered the one card spread. Then you grow from there. Then you weave into using multiple decks at a time. Then you can do all the fancy ones. It's totally fine. But like in this example, I never bothered with the Celtic cross spread. My mentor, CB, tried really hard to get me onto it. He's like, come on, give it a go. We'll do this. He loves it. I was just like, nope. doesn't compute in my mind in the way that I want to. I'm going to ask it this way because it feels better and it works better. And therefore, for me, it is better. You don't have to follow the crowd. Can you tell I'm Aquarius rising? Don't have to follow what everyone's doing. Find your own path. So if it feels clunky, pare it back. Cut stuff out. If you're struggling to connect with your ancestors, don't connect with your ancestors. Just leave them for a bit. They're not going anywhere. Let them chill. If they want to connect with you, they will probably let you know in a dream, with a sign, with an omen. But most of the time, in my experience, they get it when we're just trying to find our feet. They're like, eh, it's fine. They've usually, depending on the ancestors, usually got our back. And you can just start as simple as, hey guys, I would really love to connect with you. Don't really know how I'm doing that right now. I'm just trying to get my altar down pat, but I will come to you. I promise you that, right? Say it out loud. You're done. You're good. So when it comes to a routine, I know we all want to have a daily routine. We all want to have a daily witchy routine, but life doesn't always allow that. For some people it does. If you have kids, it makes it a little bit harder, especially if you have school run, daycare drop off, work, all sorts of things. If you have family members that aren't on board with your witchy stuff, again, spanner in the works. If you have a chronic illness, spanner in the works. If you're disabled, time poor, caring duties, there are so many reasons. Hell, you might just be trying to binge through your latest favorite season of whatever you're watching. For me, it's The Righteous Gemstones. And you're like, you know what? That thing that I wanted to do with my witchcraft, it can wait a couple of days. I just have to find out what happens. That's fine. You're not a bad witch. It's supposed to work with you, not against you. Life is to be enjoyed. Pare back your routine. Make it into a weekly one or a monthly one rather than a daily one. And I think that's going to be the best option forward for you. Like, sometimes it can be also good to look at other religions or religions of origin as well. And by that I mean, I was raised Christian. I would say Christianity is my religion of origin. And my habits around that were very frequent. We went to church and prayer group and youth group and all those things, up to 4 times a week, sometimes more. So for me, having it be quite frequent or a daily routine for myself or multiple times a week, that feels normal and natural to what I'm used to. But if you grew up in a family that was perhaps Catholic and only went on sacred holy days, maybe you're better off having a looser schedule, because that's what you grew up with, that's familiar to you, and then you can increase it further if you want to. Maybe you grew up Muslim and you were raised praying 5 times a day, and so that feels normal and natural for you to stop 5 times a day and acknowledge your craft, acknowledge your deities, acknowledge your ancestors. Do that. Try that. You're allowed to experiment. Now, when it does come to altars, like, there's no rules. Some people say there are. Like, it must be on the east facing wall or whatever they want to say. It doesn't. You can put it wherever. Just put where you have space. Use what you have. And there's a lot of talk about you need all four elements represented. Like, you don't. I like to do that, but you don't. I love using candles in my practice. That's why I usually have a space to put a candle. I usually have something that holds some water because I use water and moon water as an offering, or I'll use alcohol and coffee and things like that as an offering. You might like to keep a little platter or a space for a food offering if that's something you want to give to whoever you're working with. You might want crystals, rocks, sticks, feathers. On the subject of feathers, this is so adorable. My three-year-old, I don't know where he's got this from, but every time he finds a feather, he goes, "Look, Mum, a witch feather." And I'm like, "A witch feather?" And he's like, "Yeah, you have to pick it up." I'm like, "Cool, okay, I'm picking it up." It doesn't matter what type of bird it's from. They're usually crows, but it doesn't matter which type of bird they're from. It's a witch feather. There was even one where the feather came out of the cushion, you know, those like cushion feathers. And he's like, "Mum, a witch feather in the house. Where did it come from?" "The witches." And I'm like, "Yes, buddy. Thank you. I'll put it on the altar." The couch cushion pillow feather. So freaking cute. But to be honest, the things that I find the most sacred to me on my altar are the encyclopedia that I found in a random ass antique store years and years ago that I sit my Thoth statue on top of, because an encyclopedia is a book of knowledge and he's a god of wisdom. And it felt right. And it's such an old freaking book. It's like over 100 years old. It's gorgeous. Like, that is so sacred to me. If I lost the rest of the piece of furniture it's on, I would keep that. That's the main part for me. There's a tiny little bullet casing from when Ben and I went to a shooting range in Canada on a date once, like 12 years ago. And I kept that. Like, I picked it up off the ground and was like, "Oh, it's a symbol of us doing something fun together." And that's on my altar. There's a tiny vial of, it's like a travel ritual oil for safe travel made by Voodoo Authentica, who gave me advice around the spiritual entity I was dealing with when I was in Louisiana. That's on my altar because that was such a pivotal moment in my craft. I guess not my craft, I wasn't there yet, but in my spiritual journey. So that's on there, that represents that. But the things that are like super special are not the thing of water, they're not the candle. It's the other things around it that have meaning. So just find those and just group them together on a bedside table or wherever you can. It doesn't have to look like an altar and definitely does not have to look like Instagram. Now, this month in the Suburban Witches Society, which is my private membership group, which Brandy is a member of, I have a video of my most recent altar refresh of me. I think I filmed it 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it goes through the signs that gave me the heads up that it was time to do that. You know, what made me go, "Oh, okay, that needs to be done today." And it goes through how I clean it and what I do when I'm setting it back up. So you could use this for setting up a brand new altar. Like, I'm showing you the whole process. You can see the things that I include on there. I think it will be really helpful for you if you're struggling with the concept of altars. There's already a resource on there of when I built my business altar, when I put together, refreshed, I can't remember what I was doing, when I did my business altar, which is a specific section for my business, right? As you would expect by business altar, I don't know why I'm witch-splaining that to you, but you can see that up on there as well. I think it's really helpful sometimes to have examples like that. So you can go, "Oh, she's done that. Oh, that makes me think of this," and then find your own version of that. So I hope this helps you. If you have a question for Hannah Help Me, please send it through to info@suburbanwitchery.com, because I'm collecting all of the questions that get submitted. They all go into like a little file and I pretty much just intuitively pick whichever one I feel called to talk about. This episode today is the second last one for this season, and I will be taking a couple of months off because I need some time to get some creative projects done. But oh my Thoth, we have the best episode for you next week. I am giddy with excitement for our season finale. I will be chatting with Michelle Boulanger all about demons and negative entities. it is one you do not want to miss. Society members already have access to the behind-the-scenes uncut version. A couple of them have watched it more than once because it is that good. As a side note, if you also were raised Christian, like myself, and you are no longer, which is likely if you're listening to this, I have my very first evangelical class coming out very soon. It was meant to be March. I got delayed because whilst I say it's a class, I've realized as I'm almost finished creating it, that it's actually kind of a course. Like, I've pretty much just put together a course. There are 5 lessons ranging from 15 minutes to an hour, and it's all about deconstructing from the fear of the rapture doctrine. It's called Ridiculous Rapture Rhetoric. There is a little like wait list that you can go on for all the evangelical classes and things like that, and you get a little bonus resource when you sign up for that. You'll find that in the description box below. And the bonus resource gets emailed to you as soon as you sign up to that. It's a list of all my favorite TV series, movies, and documentaries that I recommend people watch when they are deconstructing. Things that help you through it. Some of them are funny and lighthearted. Some of them are serious. Some of them are about other religions, but then you can see the links, you know, so it's good to like highlight the ones that are different to your particular brand of religion growing up. It's a great little resource and great to get your teeth wet is what I was going to say, but that's wrong. Great to get your lips wet, mouth wet. What is that saying? Dip your toe in. It's kind of like that. My brain is, my ADHD meds have worn off. It is like 10:30 at night here. I'm just going to presume you know what I'm on about. And if you don't, well, that's on me. So that class, I'm hoping it's going to be done in April at the same time as me launching the Psychic Divination course. So you got lots going on in April. I don't know why I did it to myself. It just happened that way. But yes, I will be opening the doors to the Art of Psychic Divination on April 10th. I only open the doors twice a year. So if you want to get in on that, that's your time to do it. The Early Bird Special is phenomenal. So basically that is what's coming up for me and for you if you would like to be involved and learn with me. I hope you are having a magical day today. And if not, that this time with me has made it just a little bit more magical for you. And I'll chat with you next time.